Let's start again. John talks a lot about light and darkness in his Christmas story. At the age the Gospels were written, nighttime was dark. There were no street lights or even large candles on every street corner. Most people didn't have money to light oil lamps. Oil was important for cooking, not for reading a book or keeping the shadows at bay. The dark was a dangerous place to be in. Wild animals and wild men would run around at night. Best stay at home in a safe place. Darkness also represented evil or places of evil. The writer of John states the truth as he knew it. Darkness could not keep the light from shining. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Greek word that our scripture interprets as overcome is hard to translate. In different scriptures, it could mean has not understood or did not comprehend. According to a Reverend Peter Sawtell, the word in the street language would mean something like the darkness just does not get it. The meaning in this gospel seems to fit. Light, God, is in the world, and evil just doesn't understand it. You see, the evil keeps showing up in the world, in the wars, and the powers that think that they control us. When competition is more important than cooperation, when we believe that exploitation and destruction are normal ways of being. Evil doesn't get it when relationships, community, justice, sufficiency, and love are more important. But the gospel says evil will not win. And there is truth in this gospel. God is sending the abundant life to us. Christmas is the time of hope, the time of abundant life that points to that truth. Evil will not win. Nina, my granddaughter, has been visiting with Donna and I for 2 weeks now, and we are exhausted. Our sleeping schedules are out of whack. Our house schedules are not the same. But most importantly, our worldly schedules are out of whack. Things I thought were important are not so much anymore. I haven't watched news broadcasts for a week. It's more important to lie on the floor and play with the kid. Donna has switched from cooing Broadway tunes to nursery rhymes. I wonder if the writer of John was influenced by a granddaughter, if he was touched by the trust of a child, if he was touched by the belly laugh when she sees someone she loves, like a soggy cloth badger toy. We all have personal prisons of darkness. Some darkness comes from our own chemistries. Some come from outside forces. What most of us don't know is how to turn on the light to drive away these darknesses. Being in right relationships can be one thing that does that for you. John's gospel is a gospel that explains what right relationships are. Relationships between Jesus and God. John 14:6 says, if you know me, you know my Father. Relationships between Jesus and his disciples. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And yes, relationships between grandfather and granddaughter. I'll let you look that one up. In John, 1 John 3:1, here's a quote, says, you must see what the great love the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children. We are God's children. As I watch Nina play, I become focused on the light of that, and I become focused on that light of that child. I change. But one thing I become very protective. Pick up the dirt off the carpet. Don't allow her to chew on things she shouldn't have, like the edge of the table. Don't allow others to touch her. There may be germs there. I've started to analyze what's good for her and what's bad. I would like her to live in a world where all people are treated equally, not just those with the right skin color or right language. I would like her to live in a world where respect comes from the point of a well-tuned phrase or a smart argument instead of the point of a gun. You see, I want her to have what God wants for all of us to have, abundant life. Life that is not limited by disease, by power, by addictions, by prejudices. What type of world will I leave her with? I don't want to leave her with a world that is so violent that the kids can't go to school safely. A world where young children don't have clean water to drink. Where they can't see birds when they look out their window because the birds have no space to live in. So how do I use my influence? How do I influence my world to be what I know will be a better place for her? Do I live the rest of my life safely locked in my home, ignoring the dark that is out there, or do I take the light of Christ out into the world? Evil will not win. Evil will not win if we send it away. The first thing for me to do is to double down on my prayer life, continually connect in my relationship with God. Then I need to become active in the world. Speak up to what is not right. There are so many choices where I can do this. I don't have to be mean or arrogant or know-it-all. I just have to say no to certain influences, to what causes darkness. Several weeks ago when I preached, I mentioned a poem by Mary Oliver called Sometimes. Her instructions for living a life is to pay attention, be astonished, and tell someone about it. Pay attention to your granddaughters, the way they laugh. Be astonished when you realize there are kids all over the world that have that same laugh. And speak up for the children. Amen.